All right, welcome back to another episode of The Thinking Tree, a podcast to help believers renew their minds and reform their hearts. I'm Adam Sanchez, back with my lovely wife, Jessie, for another
fun topic.
Yeah. Now, this one has been one that has been recommended that we discuss for the sake of our body. This is more specific to our church family. Principles, though, I'm sure could be expounded upon and impact other areas of life and whatnot. But here's what it is. We're talking about parenting during our family services and really during Sunday worship.
Right. Big church.
Big church. And though we're going to kind of zero in on something we do every month or kind of once every six-ish weeks, somewhere around there, which is a family service where the young ones come with us and we just have a nursery for the real littles. But we're also talking about these same principles on a Sunday in regularity.
Right.
Because the principles are still part of the Sunday worship service, Sunday gathering, but there's a uniqueness when the young ones, we call them the acorns, come with us into the main hall, into the main big church,
as we call it,
with us. So we want to talk about that we want everything to be in the light. We don't want anything to be like, oh, I don't know what to do or it's hard. And even if you feel like you're crushing it, great, excel still more. If you're struggling, don't be ashamed. Be encouraged that, hey, there's ways that you can keep striving for growth and godliness and even ask for help. You know, there's different seasons that happen. So we don't want it to be a thing that we ignore. We want to actively encourage our members towards faithfulness in all ways. And parenting is a big one.
Right.
Raising up the next generation.
And even this starting a conversation where someone has questions, like, let's talk about it.
Yeah. This is open door.
It's a dynamic.
So let's talk about why it's hard, what's difficult. And, you know, I'm not going to go into the background of the decision for family services for another time, how we as the elders came up with that. But in terms of what's difficult about it, so typically the children have their own service.
Right.
And so they go to their own service. They have music. They have worship. They have a lesson. They usually have a craft or activity. It's really tailored to them.
And I
just want to give a good shout out to Meredith and Cassie and any of the workers, all of the workers who volunteer time every week, who do such a great job to bring the word of God to bear on our young ones. There's this time though, then once 4 to 6 weeks or so, when we bring them together, where now the kids are expected to be in a different dynamic.
Right.
So we're going to deal with things like attention span.
Yeah.
You know, I remember early on when I was being taught how to engage with young ones, and this was 2 decades ago plus, where I was told you have 1 minute for every year of age that they are.
Until they're six, when it doubles.
Well, even then, back in my day, I wasn't told that it doubled. It was, you know, so if they're 11, you got 11 minutes.
Our media saturated culture, it's less now.
Probably less now. Everything being instant. Mm-hmm. So we are dealing with attention spans, and that's going to be a struggle because we're not talking directly to them. We're using bigger words, longer sentences. It's not as much of a back and forth, even, you know, kind of a where you're asking questions and almost rabbinic in that style. It's not that on Sunday mornings. So the attention's going to be hit. And then you're going to have different dynamics too for kids and parents. I would call these personal weaknesses. I'll give you an example. You know, sometimes it's not just an attention span, but maybe a child's used to being very active.
Right.
And it's not a sin issue, but it's a weakness where they're struggling to sit still.
Right.
Because they're used to just running around and playing with things.
Boys, so, are you talking about boys?
Especially boys, right? Especially
not
boys.
Not to be stereotypical, but... Yes, oftentimes,
generally speaking,
it's a struggle,
and I don't want to call it a sin because it's not a sin to run around, but it's a weakness. Like, hey, it's hard. It's hard. You know, it'd be like
it's a challenge to sit still.
If you ask a baby to lift a barbell, you know, a dumbbell, they can't do it. It's a weakness, but it's not a sin. It's like, hey, let's just call it what it is. And so for the young ones, that could be a weakness. It's not just attention.
Sure.
They may be able to pay attention, but they may have the wiggles.
Yeah.
And just want to run around. Mm-hmm. You could also have a parent who may struggle with discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was talking to a buddy in another venue, not at church, where they were just sharing it was a difficult thing where him and his wife were working through how to discipline well.
Yeah.
And their young child, you know, they want to raise him up in the fear and instruction of the Lord, but the spouse hadn't been raised in a good environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were struggling and wrestling with, okay, how do I discipline well, not mm-hmm. out of anger? Mm-hmm. This most gentle parent, most kind parent. But the fear is that they would discipline out of anger, or that right. they would discipline in an unhelpful way.
Right.
So rather than discipline, it was almost a step back
yeah.
from that discipline. And so now that's allowing the child towards more disobedience. Then the dad's struggling. He's like, well, now I got to come in heavier. So they're working on that together, which is a beautiful thing.
Private versus public discipline
sure.
is difficult. Yeah. There's a difficult dynamic when you're surrounded by a lot of people.
There is.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that that all the weaknesses are, you just got to deal with your sin issue. Really, I'd rather say address your weaknesses and look where you're struggling and try to bolster that.
Right.
So if you notice your kid is really active, then, we'll get to some specific encouragements, but just to get your minds thinking, okay, well, maybe every 10 minutes we need to get up to go use the restroom.
Yeah.
And it's going to take 2 minutes to go do that, but yeah. that's going to be better mm-hmm. to get them up and moving mm-hmm. than to just sit here for 40 minutes
right.
where they're just wiggling
right.
and really struggling.
Much, yeah.
Right. So that's just an example yeah. of how you could deal with that. Or if you're struggling disciplining in public, then again, you get them up, you move into more private space
yep.
and you can discipline there
yep.
and walk through that faithfully. Some other difficult things where there's multiple children involved.
Yeah.
Then you're not playing, we joke about the football term man-to-man coverage and then zone coverage. And, you got one in each arm, or you're trying to do that one on each
Shout
leg,
out to the twins.
To
the
all
church.
The twins that we have. Yeah. And just the ages, right? We have that going on. There can be kids of different ages that we're shepherding. And so
yeah.
we're trying to shepherd them where they are
right.
and what they're growing right. through. And then there could be discipline issues that may be ongoing, like maybe even happened in the morning and they're extenuating,
yeah.
into the service.
Bleeds
and
over.
You're, yeah. And you're like, yeah. Oh, I'm so tired. I was already dealing with this earlier. Like, there could be a lot of difficulties. And that's just a smattering of issues that could be there. There could be more than that as well. But those difficulties, we want to encourage. That's the reality of being a parent. That's the reality of dealing with children. That's the reality of raising them up.
Right.
So whether it's during a family service or whether it's any other time, those are the things
right.
we're going to be walking through, and it's going to look different in different venues because they're still going to have to learn how to pay attention at some point.
Right.
They're
right.
going to have to learn about their own personal weaknesses mm-hmm. and what they're strong in and what they struggle in, whether they're mm-hmm. good at math or they're good at English or not good at either because they don't like them. But maybe that's the attention span coming
yeah.
back again.
Yeah.
We're going to work on those things with our children together, both practically, but also spiritually. And so that's really the big thing that we want to aim for, is not just focusing on how we're dealing with attention spans and those kind of personal weaknesses dynamics, but how we're addressing our deeper aim, really the concern, which is not a concern, a worry, but like, what is our desire? What are we wanting? What are we aiming for
right.
for our children? So I have three big thoughts that I wanted to bring to bear and to encourage our listeners, really our parents with. The first one is that we want to cultivate normalcy. We want to make it normal mm-hmm. for children listening and following directions and being quiet at appropriate times.
Right.
That's a good thing. And
yeah.
I think all of our parents would agree with that. So that's why I would say that this is something we should aim for. It's a
right.
deeper aim that we're striving towards. So we got to work towards that. That doesn't mean we demand it. And that doesn't mean it's always going to happen.
Right.
It just means that's what we're striving towards. We're aiming to make it normal to help our kids listen, follow directions, mm-hmm. and be quiet at appropriate times. So when Pastor Jeff is up there preaching, mm-hmm. that's not the time for us to just hold a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're going to think through how we're modeling that.
Right.
Like if we go out into the hallway mm-hmm. and we bring our kid out there and we start having a side conversation in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe they're being quiet now in the hallway because they're able to, move around. But what we're modeling for them is we get to step out
right.
and not listen.
Right.
What would probably be better is if we stepped out, had that quick conversation with them about, hey, we need to listen well. And then if you need to remain out there, then you're listening
right,
to the sermon
because it's
piped
speaker.
Out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're listening to it. And so we're modeling that for them. We're not teaching them that you can kind of have your own conversation whenever you want. And if you don't want to be in this main sanctuary, you can just go outside of
yeah.
it to have the conversation you want. We want to be quiet at appropriate times. We want to listen and want to follow directions. Those are good things. And we get to encourage our children towards that during a family service. Won't
right.
be easy.
Sure.
But we get to encourage them towards that. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I just, I was looking for it beforehand. I've sent this article to several moms, and it's a I know, Gospel Coalition article, but it was a long time ago. It was a long time ago. And it was titled something along the lines, are Sundays good for babies? Mm-hmm. And it's just talking about the difficulty. Sundays are often, every mom will know, Sundays are difficult. Nap schedule gets thrown off, right? We're mm-hmm. off of our normal schedule. Sometimes it takes all Monday to recover. You got a fussy baby, then you're out in the hallway anyway, and you're not like in service. You feel like you haven't actually sat and listened to a sermon in a long time. It's going to be a difficult season. And I just appreciated the stress of the article was Sundays are good for babies because it's hard. It's different. It should be different from our normal day. We shouldn't get our nap schedule like we do every other day because it's not every mm-hmm. other day of the week. And so even from the very little years, we're training that Sunday is different. It's not a normal day. And when we go to church, we're not there for ourselves, right? Even here now is the time to train your child not to be a consumer in the church. Mm-hmm. What are we here for? We're here to worship the Lord. We're here to listen to his word. We're here to encourage his people. We're here to sing praises to the Lord. And that should be all the time. But in the family service, there's a lot of opportunity to practice that. And that includes in the hallway too. And if you need to step out, then we need to step out. But it's not that because we've left the NPR, we're now here just for ourselves. It's like, if we need a snack, yeah, let's go. Mm-hmm. It's more quiet to do it in the hallway.
You gotta open up.
Do the crinkling in the hallway. But even while we're snacking, we're still listening. There's a sermon going on. If there's praying happening, we're still folding our hands mm-hmm. and closing our eyes. To that one where you said the helping children to practice. Hopefully that's already happening in the home, at least during prayer times or when we're reading scripture to them. You start small. All of child rearing is training.
Yeah.
You're training them and it's age appropriate, small bits, small bites, and then you get bigger as they get older, but that should be the focus.
Yeah, that's good. So the second thing I had here was we also want to develop an aptitude for hearing biblical thoughts and then responding with questions. And what I mean by aptitude is as we're raising up our children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, we want to help them to hear things that are true mm-hmm. and then to ask questions about that truth.
Yeah.
We want them, it's good when they don't get it. We want them to ask about not getting it.
Yeah.
We also want them to repeat things that are true.
Right.
Because they heard it and they're like, hey, this came from God's word. I know it's true.
Right.
It can be trusted.
Right.
We want to develop that. And so on Sundays, whether we're at family services or whether we're discussing what they learned, you know, during their Acorns lesson, we're underscoring that biblical thinking
right.
and helping our children to respond with questions like, okay, right. so why didn't Daniel bow down?
Yeah.
And why did he get thrown into the lion's mm-hmm. den? We want our children to ask those questions and then to answer. And then even if they answer in a crazy way, we want to help cultivate the right answer, which is not, you know, well, because he liked lions or he liked cats or something, you know, it's crazy things that kids can say, but help them understand like, no, there were evil people who wanted Daniel right. to not worship the Lord. And he said, I will worship the Lord and I'd rather die than not worship him.
Yeah.
And wow, what a challenge. And would we respond the same way? That would be hard.
Yeah.
But thank the Lord that we don't live in that day and we don't live with that kind of ruler. So that's a grace and we can be thankful. But the nature of worship is that we value the Lord more than our lives. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a statement, you know. Yeah. So we want to develop that aptitude. And then you mentioned this earlier. So I just want to underscore the third thing I would say here is we do want to help our children, our young ones, have a mindset where they're getting bits and pieces, the small right. bites, right? Right. The meal on the Sunday, right, is the whole thing. When you look at from the time we arrived at church, the people we're talking to the service itself, right, in every part from a call to worship and the songs that we sing that encourage our hearts of biblical truths, specific prayers that are made on behalf of us and our country, our nation, and the church, and then the teaching.
Yeah.
That is from God's word, helping us to understand all of that is part of the larger meal
right.
that occurs on right. Sundays. But we don't expect our children, because we also don't expect adults either,
sure.
to eat the whole meal.
No. Mm-hmm.
What we want to encourage is that they're taking the bites along the way.
Right.
So it's like Thanksgiving dinner. You know, when we think about our young kids, I don't know if anyone else has picky kids. you know, don't ask for it for anyone else, but I imagine, you know, we might have some. But when we have all these different things that are on the table, and the kids like a couple of things,
rolls,
right? They're going to want those things
that
they're familiar with and that they understand,
right.
and you know, isn't confusing.
Right.
The marshmallows were intriguing, but then what's the stuff underneath? You know, they're not going to be excited about that. We want to train them to have bits and pieces,
right.
small bites along the way. because it is a large meal. Yeah. And one day we'd love them to enjoy the whole thing.
Right.
To make that fancy sandwich with the gravy and the stuffing and all the stuff in it. We would love them to enjoy the whole meal one day. But what we want to encourage now is that they get the bits and pieces.
Right.
So that we say, hey, which song did you remember that we sang? And which one do you know the best? And do you remember the chorus? Can we sing it together now? Yeah. And when did you hear Jesus talked about? Or what did you listen? What did you hear about being faithful or obedient? Mm-hmm. And we talk about obedience in the home. And so what did that look like in that story? Mm-hmm. We want to bring those themes to bear upon our kids in bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Little ways where we're not asking them to remember the whole sermon. We're not asking them to remember all the songs and the prayer. But these little pieces, we're just encouraging them, kind of going back to the normalcy of listening, encouraging them to pay attention bit by bit. And you know, different ages are going to have different abilities with that. So some kids are going to be the roll-only kids. Yeah. And then other kids at different ages may be, hey, I had the roll. And guess what? Today I tried mashed potatoes. And they weren't that bad. Mm-hmm. You're like, great. Next time let's try gravy. You know, you give them a little bit more and you extend. Yeah. Okay, so what is this? What did this mean when we sang it? You know, you move from rote memorization to now comprehension. Do we understand what it is? So those are some aims that I would encourage. Cultivate that normalcy for listening. Following directions, being quiet, developing the aptitude for biblical thinking and responding with questions, and then facilitating these small bites with the larger meal on Sundays. These are the things I think we should be aiming for, specifically on family services,
right,
but also generally for Sunday worship.
Yeah, I think just to over underscore it all, like these things are good, and what kind of wraps around it all is just a mindset of like what is your role as a parent with your child, with church. Like it is parenting is so wild. Like there are these people like that God created and he gave them to us, and we get to walk with them through all of these things. I get to teach them how to pray for the first time. I get to model and fold their little hands and help them close their eyes. Not because you can't pray to God if your eyes aren't closed, but I'm teaching them that God is to be reverenced and he is a holy God, and yet we can talk to him. And like I get to walk my children through that. I get to introduce them to the joy of being with God's people and singing praise to him and listening to his word and memorizing those things and getting to think about it. And then we come to church. So it should be an extension of what we're doing already at home, right? The Deuteronomy 6 passage, what we all go to for parenting. And sometimes we forget. And I think we did a good job the last couple of baby dedications where it talks about these things are to be on your heart. Right? That the Moses stresses first, it's you, it's important to you. And then you teach it to your kids all the time. When you stand up, when you go, when you walk, when you come, it's all the time. It's a manner of your life. And so part of that is you get to introduce your children to the gathering of believers in a family service. And there's some churches who never do children's church and the kids are always there and the kids learn how to behave. It's struggle when they're younger, but they can learn and grow. So for us though, at our church, this is one of the beautiful opportunities that we have to introduce our children to what is the corporate worship like. What is it like to be here with all the other people who love God, who want to love him, who want to learn from him, who want to worship him, and they get to be a part of that. They're not going to understand it all. Some of it's going to go over their head, but how are we viewing it that way? Or are we just, oh, this is going to be a hard Sunday, which it might, right?
There might be seasons. Yeah.
We've got a diaper blowout on the way. And then when you get to our stage of parenting, then there can be attitude issues and other, like there's every stage of life has difficulties there. But what a beautiful privilege to be able to help orient your children, to love church, to love God's people. That's what we get to do when we get to do family services.
Amen. Amen. So some practical things then that we could encourage, you know, our people with as we're doing that, as we're setting our heart and our mind before the aim of a family service. So one of the first things I'm going to say is set expectations.
Yes.
So obviously
get on the same page with your spouse,
your heart, right, and then set on what you're doing with the Lord, but then set expectations. So you think through, what are the kids going to do during service? Mm-hmm. They're going to be listening. They're going to be singing. They're going to be participating. They might be coloring, like
snacking.
Yep. You might have to do some restroom breaks. Think through what is the expectation of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like a normal Sunday when they're with the Acorn Ministry.
Right.
So you got to think through that's the expectation. It's going to be different. And then you got to think through what do you desire them to do?
Right.
Set your expectation. Are you going to ask them to listen for certain things to share with you? You're going to tell them, hey, when we're there, think about your favorite song that we sing of the morning. And I want you to tell me afterwards, which one was your favorite one?
I loved the Haman, being aware of Haman and booing him. And like that, you could find, make a treasure hunt for your kids. We're going to think about every time that Pastor Jeff says the word grace. Yeah. We're going to think about it. Have them listen for something.
Yeah. Something where they're involved intentionally.
Right.
Not accidentally.
Right.
Even a question that you may have, like, hey, at the end, I'm going to ask you, what was the main point? You know, for older kids, you can do that. For younger kids, it's going to be, tell me how many times you said grace or something like that. So what do you desire them to do? Think through what are going to be the consequences if there's disobedience. Set that up ahead of time. You know, as you're on your way to church, say, okay, here's what we're asking you to do. You know, listen in this way. And for these things, we'll remind you. But here's going to be the consequence. If we're not listening, there'll be a warning. And then after the warning, then we may go out into the hallway. And then after that, there may be a more serious discipline that we walk through.
Right.
But these are going to be the consequences of not listening to our instruction as your parents.
Right.
So that expectation is good for the kids to hear so they know.
Yeah.
And then set your own heart expectation that you might not get the full sermon.
Yep, might not be a full meal.
You know, and that's okay because it is recorded by God's grace. And that's, you know, that's part of the thinking there too, is that if you don't get all of it, you know, because maybe you're tag teaming as parents and you're doing different things, that, you might not get the whole thing, but it's recorded on your drive to work or in your meal times. You can go back and you can listen to it and probably get more out of it the second time than you would have the first time because you've been thinking about these things, you know, as they're going along. So
for the recording too, I would encourage couples to, especially if you're tag teaming, right? You've got more than one. Set up a time. You guys both listen to it by Tuesday night, and then the two of you talk about it.
Then
so you don't, so you don't feel like the Sunday, well, that's a throwaway Sunday or a throwaway sermon, or I always mean to listen, but I don't. Make it important. Set a date and talk about it together.
Amen. Be intentional. And so the last encouragements then are just work on active shepherding. That's something that I think every one of us parents can keep striving towards faithfulness in. You know, when Paul says, you've been doing well, but excel still more, for Thessalonians 4, even if you're doing well loving the brothers, you can always do more. Even if you're doing well at shepherding your kids, you can always do more.
Yeah.
So we want to focus on excelling still more. So in our shepherding, while we're listening to the sermon, let's pay attention to our kids.
Yeah.
And let's pay attention, not just because we're trying to keep them quiet or not do anything. What we want to be paying attention to is, hey, are they understanding what's going on? Maybe they're not, but maybe they're not old enough to yet.
Yeah.
So now I can think through, okay, maybe we do need to go on, take that little walk to the restroom just to help get the wiggles out and we'll come back. Or, you know, maybe they are thinking, ooh, they made a little note here about how many times they heard the word grace. Okay, they're listening. I'm going to ask them about that later.
Yeah.
Maybe they wrote down the name of the song, you know, if they're of writing age, or maybe they were singing really loud one of the songs and you're paying attention. You're like, okay, I want to ask them about that later.
Yeah.
You know, is that one of the songs they enjoy singing during Acorns? And what do they like about that song? And, you know, so there's ways that we can pay attention to our children during these family services that provide opportunities for us to love them and serve them more. And then the last thing I would say in that active shepherding is we want to help our children to know that the service goal is not to keep them quiet,
no,
but to see them worshiping the Lord by listening to his word and hearing it explained and exclaimed and then exclaiming it ourselves when we sing. We want them to see that worship is the goal. The goal isn't just to be quiet. The goal isn't just to memorize certain things. The goal is worship.
Right.
That we're giving him honor and praise. And we want to model that for our children, but we want to help them to see that that's the aim of the service. So we're not just going in there to be quiet.
No.
We're going in there to honor Jesus.
Yeah.
And so our reason for being quiet is to honor Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's where we want to keep on shepherding, and younger kids are going to struggle with that a bit more.
Yeah.
As they get a little older, they're going to understand bit by piece, you know, bit in piece, bit a little bit more, butchering with that statement,
like I always do. Bit by bit, piece by piece.
So those are some things we can keep striving towards. So again, we wanted this conversation not to be something that, you know, we're trying to swing a hammer on anything, but to be a conversation where we say, hey, let's talk about these things and let's help each other to strive for excellency under the Lord's name in all the areas of life. And really let's serve each other
right.
as we do this. So like some of us may be tired and we're like, all right, let's help one another, you know, to be encouraged, to be energized, to keep being faithful, work in that. And then for those who are doing okay, maybe they're not stressed out, maybe have your eyes open to parents who could be struggling. You can love and serve them.
Yeah. Yeah. And overall, pray that the Lord would use his word. Pray for your children. If you can't listen to the sermon and you're just handing snack after snack after snack, a prayer with every snack, a prayer with every piece. Pray that ultimately as parents, we would desire that our children would love the Lord.
Yep.
And so pray to that end. Pray for your own heart before. Pray for yourself afterwards. Repent if you messed up and need to repent. But ask that the Lord would be gracious. We know that he's a gracious God, and getting to have our kids in big church is a part of that grace.
Amen. Well said. All right, friends. Well, we pray this episode has helped to encourage you, how do I say this again? I butchered it last time. To renew your mind
and reform your heart.
That's right. We're the Sanchez. We'll catch you next time on Think Tree.